This is the Make Money Blogging Podcast, episode 41 with digital nomad wannabe founder, Sharon Goulet. In today's episode, I'm talking all about selling sites. In my last episode, I talked about plans I had for 2023, which included basically having like a garage sale to clear out the crazy number of sites I have that really aren't serving me anymore. I had been having problems prioritizing this task, but then I realized I needed it to be number one to help make time for everything else. And of the 20 sites I mentioned last time, I have sold 9, with 6 more to go on the list. And I've sold quite a few more sites over the years as well. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about everything site selling, from how it works, things I'm learning, what I recommend, when to sell, and more. Because I must say, after doing so many in a row, I feel like I'm becoming a well-oiled machine. And while, you know, I feel like I'm always pretty organized and I've done an okay job at this, definitely every sale, I just get, you know, so much better. So this episode is for you if you've ever thought about selling or buying a site, or might in future, or if you're just curious about what it entails, or think you might be interested in my remaining 6, as I'll be talking about them too.
Welcome to the Make Money Blogging Podcast with Digital Nomad Wannabe. Each week on this show, you'll find actionable tips and strategies for growing traffic and income from your blog with no fluff, so you can quit the day job and have more freedom to do what you love. From SEO to affiliate marketing to blogging business strategies, it's all here. Let's start with your host, digitalnomadwannabe.com founder, Sharon Goulet.
It's mid-February 2023 here. It's my birthday again, around the time this will be published, and I have to wonder, where does the time go? Why are we hitting the end of summer? Now, it's been a pretty good summer here in Melbourne, and today it is super hot and I had to turn off the fan to record this. I didn't want the background noise, so hopefully I don't pass out in the middle of it. But it hasn't been super productive thanks to the nearly 6 weeks of school holidays. My daughter just started high school too, which has been a whole heap extra onto my mental load as we navigate that. But I have been working really hard in the last 3 weeks since school went back. Far too hard, actually. I have to keep a timesheet for every day of work all year now, thanks to new tax rules here in Australia, if I want to maximise my deductions. So I know how much I'm working, and I'm too embarrassed to share, actually. It's way too high, and it's not healthy for me. It's definitely not making my life better, that's for sure. So that's definitely got to drop back. But a big part of that reason is because site selling is time-consuming. We've lots of back and forth. Even though I'm well-organised and know exactly what I'm doing, it eats into my time for everything else, and of course, the people buying them don't necessarily know what they're doing, and that can cause issues too. So I do find I get stressed if I'm not progressing on other things. So it's like I'm just working too much to make up for all the time I'm spending on site selling to make sure everything else is moving forward. But anyway, the good news is the sites will all be gone soon. Now, before I dive into everything site selling, don't forget you can find today's show notes at digitalnomadwannabe.com/episode41. If you want to learn about why I'm selling, simply listen to the last episode, number 40, where I go into that, as today I'm not going to talk about the why, and I'm going to dive into when is a good time. Because if you didn't listen to that episode and you're wondering about why you might want to sell a site, you know, listening to my reasoning can really help with that in the last episode. First of all, though, let's talk about how price is calculated, as when is a good time is really related to that, right? Otherwise, a good time would be whenever you wanted to. If you want to maximize, you know, the amount of money you can make, you're definitely going to want to think about how the price is calculated. Now, to do this, you're going to create a big spreadsheet of all your costs and revenues that is all backed up by screenshots. Okay, you can't put a cent of revenue on there without showing it in a screenshot. To be fair, for costs, no one has ever asked me if you have costs that are reasonable. I'm sure, you know, like obviously you have a domain cost, for example. You don't really need to prove that. Now, you're going to use this to get a monthly profit average, ideally over 12 months, but 6 months may be used if there's a good reason. Lately, I find I'm using that more and more just because of different things that have changed. In fact, later in this episode, I'll talk about some sites I'm about to list and why I'm going that shorter time frame. So that will help you understand that as well. Then a multiple is used to work out the price with this monthly profit average. Okay, if your site is well established, so a few years old, 30 is a good starting point. And it might be higher than this if there's things that you can argue make your site better than average. For example, when I sold my old travel blog, my really big one with Sharon, I sold it for 3.07 or 3.09, like something like that anyway, times the annual profit. Okay, so more than 36, it was like 37, 38, 39, something like that. And there were reasons for that, right? It was really well established. It had social media accounts with decent numbers of followers. It had an email list. All those things can help bump it up as well, as long as you don't spend much time on it, right? Because how much time you spend on the site also plays a part. Okay. No one's going to want your site that earns $1,000 a month if you need to spend 40 hours a week trying to earn that money. Okay. So definitely the amount of effort you put in is also a big factor, and it'll be worth more if you really don't have to put in any. You know, that's where I can win with some of the sites I'm selling lately, because I haven't worked on them in years. So that can lead to a higher multiple too. Now, if it's a newer site, 20 times could be a good starting point. Now, good reasons for a higher multiple could be all the things I just talked about, like strong socials and stuff, as long as you're not spending a lot of time on them, and an email list, all those types of things if they're somewhat automated. Another reason for a higher multiple could be profit is trending up, you know, a lower multiple because it's trending down. And like I said, again, you know, effort plays a part. So obviously a good time to sell is when you can get a higher multiple and your average is looking great. Okay. Now, obviously sometimes things are just seasonal. And, you know, if you've got a few years of data to back that up, like traffic and revenue, you know, that's all well and good, but it's still going to look better to someone when it's trending up, even if it's because of an obvious reason like that. Also, you know, many of us can struggle in many different niches to try and show seasonal changes at the moment because COVID impacted so much. You know, like you can see on my sites when lockdowns happened and stuff. And for some sites, it was like a good thing, right? They earned way more money. On others, it like travel, you know, it just brought it to a screaming halt. So, you know, that's not usual seasonal trends. So they cannot help with that. So ideally you want to sell when earnings are trending up. Although if they're going up by a lot, you probably could be better off holding until your monthly average goes up more too. For example, I was planning to sell my Tassie site, but I just put on a new partner and I really have exploded my revenue, which is so great, but it was kind of bittersweet for me because it did so well in January. And then I'm like, oh, but that means I can't sell it yet. But yeah, I'd be kind of crazy too. So I really need to wait now for a bit so I can, you know, really up what the price site is worth. Although I do talk about that more later in this podcast. So a nice upward trend can be a good time to sell, just not too steep, or it might be better to wait for a little while. Now, it doesn't mean you can't sell when trending down. Like I said, a seasonal site, you know, you could prove that that's fine. But, you know, ideally you don't want it to be that way. Now, also, if you want to sell a site because you're sick of it, this is the one that's really hard to judge, right? Ideally, you want to sell it before you hit that point and potentially don't give it the love it needs to do well. And most people tend to want to sell their sites after they've let it die. And unfortunately, that's me in a lot of these site sales. So it does mean that I have to, you know, go for a lot lower figure than I would have if I'd sold them before I got sick of working on them. Okay, so ideally, you want to do that for a better price. Finally, if you're selling as many as me, it can be stressful. I don't think there's any way to avoid a little bit of stress with a site sale, you know, even cheaper ones. And with more expensive sites, for sure, it feels stressful just making sure it goes smoothly. And there's just so many bits and pieces to selling it that trying to sell too many at once, if you've got lots like me, I wouldn't recommend either. I've been doing two at a time and that works pretty well for me, actually. It's like I kind of like having two on the go. I think more than that would be difficult. Although I am listing three at the moment, but I'll say why I'm doing that soon. So how do you sell? Okay, so you've worked all that out. I mean, to get a good idea of price, if you're going to use a broker, which is a very common way to sell, what I've done until recently, they'll give you what they think as well. But, you know, every site is a bit different, so it can definitely be quite variable. Now, brokers, ones I've used, Empire Flippers, FE International, Flipper, Niche Investor, which was Blogs for Sale until recently. There's others as well, like I can think of Motion Invest off the top of my head, but there's others too. There's quite a few. How much your site is worth and where it is located and like take away a lot of those options. Okay, like other than Flipper, none of them will sell an Australian site, .com.au, for example. Oh no, sorry, Empire Flippers definitely sells .com.au. I did sell a six-figure .com.au on there before. But the rest of them, are not interested. Also, you know, like Empire Flippers, FE International, you know, they're more for more expensive sites. Whereas Niche Investor, I would only use that for a cheap site. Flipper is for like when you really have no choice, right? Like it's just not the best place to sell sites, but you have that option. Facebook groups have become more and more popular for selling sites. So there's sites groups dedicated to that. So you can look at those. Now, if you have an audience who might be interested, You know, obviously that just worked really well for me last week. I cannot believe how well that worked for me. But I only had to share the links in Facebook and I immediately had people wanting to buy them. So you might be surprised what's going on out there. So brokers can make it easy, but it very much depends on the broker. I don't feel like the niche investor that I've just sold quite a few sites through, that there was much support. So it kind of felt like, other than the fact that they found buyers, right? They did that part really well. I didn't have anything listed for very long. That was awesome. But there wasn't any support in the handover. In fact, one of my sites that I sold on there became quite a mess because the person who bought it, he didn't understand that you have to have a host for a website, right? So he lacked a basic understanding of what was required to own a website. So I was really stressed because he got the domain name from me and actually changed the domain name servers to point to the place where the domain name was bought, thinking the site would just magically be there, right? So the site went down and I kept trying to get him to put it back and he was just really confused and I'm totally not blaming him, but I really feel like what was the point of the broker for them not to step in at that point and offer him assistance or at least like really make it clear to him that what I'm saying is correct, you know, that he has to buy hosting, he has to actually move the site. And he should change the domain name servers back. So that was a particularly stressful experience for me. And I do feel like if you're paying for a broker, you know, they take at least 15% usually. In this case, it was over 20% that they should like make sure the person understands the basics and not be up to you to walk them through that. Now, some brokers do due diligence. So this can be more important if you're buying and some don't. If you're selling too, though, if you want to sell a site that's a bit dodgy, one like Niche Invest where they don't do any, it could be a great way to go, right? That it will let you get away with anything too. Because definitely when I've looked at buying sites on there myself, you know, I've quickly found things like they're declaring Mediavine income and then the posts that get all the traffic have actually been moved to another site. So they've stripped out all the posts that were actually successful and then are selling the site saying it earns this much money. Or saying too that you can get a Mediavine account even though that site doesn't really get much traffic anymore and you wouldn't actually be able to do that. So you do need to be really aware of stuff yourself. You know, the barrier for listing on sites like Empire Flippers and FE International was just so much bigger. They wouldn't let you do all those things, right? And they would work it out if you had. So as a buyer, you should always do your own due diligence for sure. But if you buy on a platform like that, you have some security that the broker's looking out for you as well. And to be honest, even as a seller, you know, I like that. I just like don't want to deal with like dodgy stuff. You know, I don't do anything dodgy on my own sites. And I want to be listed on a place where people know that. So yeah, after all those experiences, I must admit, Niche Investor, I would not buy or sell anything on there that was worth more than $1,000 or $2,000. You know, it does concern me, you know, say I sold a $100,000 site on that and the person didn't set up the hosting properly and they brought the site down and it was down for days. You know, I have had a site go down for days before and lose all its rankings in Google. You know, the site could suddenly be worthless. So definitely when you're talking about a fair bit of money, you know, a good broker is worth it and should give you support in those things. But yeah, like I said, with Niche Investor, I feel like I've criticized them a bit because what they did do really well was that they found me sellers and that was really great, but with a big brokerage. I must say from that experience, and I think that you're probably going to find something similar with any broker with a cheaper site, I just lost about a third of the money each time. So for example, I just sold a site on there for the US $1,200. Only $874 of that is coming out of escrow for me. And then it gets even more problematic, right? That's $874. There's fees to get it out of escrow when you've got to go internationally. And then I get stuck having to put it in an account that isn't going to give me a good exchange rate to change that. Okay. So even though on the service it looked like a 20% listing fee, it becomes a lot more. So make sure you really research all of that too if you need a certain amount of money to make the sale worthwhile. Because unfortunately, these types of places like escrow, they won't allow you to use Wise. So you can't get the good and easy exchange rate that way. So it can easily get to the point where the work involved in selling isn't worth it for a cheap site. So that is something to consider too. To be honest, I've only done it for these sites that are worth around the $1,000 mark, like less than 2K really, because I want to get rid of those sites and I know I can't bring myself to just drop it. So even though the hourly rate that it took to like get these sites ready to sell them, move them, you know, deal with the new owner, et cetera, would be really poor, right? I would never work for that low money, usually. I've really, you know, I thought it through a lot and I realized if I don't do that, I'll just have the site forever and I'll keep being this drain on my time as well because I can't bring myself to just drop it. Also, when it's been domains that I've had any sort of personal affiliation with, like my name, I feel like it's kind of safer to sell them. I worry if I just let it drop some dodgy person out there will buy it and reinstate the old content and might pretend to be me. So that also alarms me. So by far the best experience for me with selling sites was definitely when I sold them directly last week on Digital Nomad Wannabe. That was amazing. And I have to say a huge thank you to those two people in the D&W community who bought them with me with minimum amount of fuss. You know, it just was so much better than dealing with what I went through where the person didn't even know hosting existed and all of that and having a broker in the middle and all the fees associated with escrow because they were also amazing and trusted me and transferred me the money. So all of that was really great. So definitely my favorite way, if you can, obviously it's not always possible, is to sell it to someone in your wider circle. And that's why I'm going to be listing my sites from now on D&W first, because it was just so much more straightforward, you know, not having to muck around with escrow. Transfers have been really quick then with all the site transfer, and it's just made it so much easier. It was also my quickest sale selling it to my community, because what's really great is that, you know, you guys trust me. So that was really awesome. You know, all I did was share on Facebook the pages I created on D&W. You know, I went to email it out and they were already had, you know, offers in at that point. So that was just amazing. So thank you everybody for that was involved. And I hope some of you will get involved when I list the next lots. So when you are selling, what do you need to do? Well, before you even get to listing it, I'd be tidying up the site first. Okay. Especially think about things like paid plugins. See if you can replace them with a free version, and same with the theme, okay? Really just think if that plugin's not making money, it shouldn't really be on there. You know, is it doing an activity? Because you'll have to put that as a cost and, you know, so you'll get less money because of it. And it just makes things simpler if you can just get rid of all that type of stuff. You want to make sure it's all working properly, okay? There's no errors anywhere on your site. You know, technically it's all good. You need those meticulous financial records for at least a couple of years with the screenshots. You also want to ensure they can take over any income source you list or consider not including them. Okay, so this means things too like Mediavine, where you might have been able to join with the site when it was a lower page view threshold and now you can't. Okay, if that person can't put it on Mediavine, then that income's not very good to them. So you need to think through that as well. There's also sometimes affiliates that you might not be able to join now, or if you have a direct partnership with someone, you're going to want to check that they're going to be okay transferring the arrangement before you list it for sale. So all that stuff is known up front. Because what you don't want to happen is to have a sale go through, you know, have the money in escrow and then have to reverse everything you've done, because even though you've already given them the domain name, the hosting and everything, they can't get one of the affiliates or the ad networks. So, you know, they want their money back. So you have to transfer it all back. Now in saying that, depending on your arrangement, maybe that won't be an issue. But if you're selling through a better broker, it definitely will be. You know, if I was selling direct and I realized that happened, and especially if you'd been kind enough to put the money directly in my bank account, we'd obviously have to reevaluate the price or I'd have to give the money back, you know, and I don't want to deal with all that. So you want to make sure beforehand that everything can just transfer nicely. And you're also going to want to keep running the site. You don't just stop. It's got to stay up. It's got to keep performing the way it is. Now, people sometimes bargain on price, so they keep that in mind too when it comes to selling time. I'd say probably 50% of the time my sites have been bargained, maybe less. It's actually not as often as I would think. Or what's happened is I've got multiple offers at once and some people have tried to bargain, right? And other people have hit the selling price. So yeah, actually for my big site sales, that's what's happened with the most expensive ones. Usually I get a few offers at once, but someone will offer the money, all done, you know, so they win, right? People can want to negotiate things too. So they might want to negotiate a payment plan. So they pay like 40% up front and then the rest is paid weekly or monthly or something over a certain period of time. I must say that would never be for me. That would make me way too nervous because I imagine trying to chase out that money, especially if the buyer's in a different country. You know, for me, definitely, I mean, I would take less money to get it all up front. People also want to negotiate training or handover time. So if that's something you're expecting, make sure you negotiate it because it's not included in a site sale. You don't automatically have someone sit with you and become your mentor because you bought a site, right? It's not a backhanded way to get someone's help. So definitely don't expect any of that to happen for free, but you might want to negotiate it. Just on one of my site sales of all of them, the most expensive one, we did negotiate some training time. It was like, you know, a phone call a week for the first four weeks. So that sort of thing too, it shouldn't be, you know, how to use WordPress or anything like that. It should be stuff specifically about the site. So if you do want anything like that, you do have to negotiate. Don't assume you'll just get it. You know, once the site's handed over, it's all yours. Also remember if you're going to buy a site that, you know, you are going to be responsible for its costs as soon as it's yours, which includes hosting. Now, I've always had to give Google Analytics access as part of the selling process. And sometimes people want to talk to you first too. Okay, like the sites I've sold for six figures, I've had to jump into a phone call and just talk it through. And I think mostly all they've wanted is just to make sure, you know, that I'm a legitimate person, because those people didn't already know me. They didn't listen to this podcast or things like this, right? So fair enough. They just wanted to get a better sense of me and the business. It wasn't like tricky. Now, when someone buys, you have to decide if you're going to use escrow or not. You know, definitely if you're dealing with a buyer or seller and you had no idea who they were or whatever, you would definitely want to use escrow. So that just means that the buyer puts the money in escrow, the seller hands everything over, the buyer confirms they've got it all, bam, they release the money and you get paid. So it's just a really better and safer way to do that. Of course, problems can happen. They've never happened for me, thankfully, although some people can be very, very slow at releasing the money, which I can find a little frustrating, but I've always got paid. So that's the main thing. So it's a bit of a safety net that can be good, but they do take fees. So, you know, I did appreciate when I just got the money in my bank account, but I also appreciate that's not for everyone. So once the money's secured, whether in escrow or in your bank account, you transfer everything. So don't just think, you know, obviously you need to give them the actual website and the domain name. So usually that's a backup of your site that they can get their host to install or do themselves. You obviously transfer over the domain name. I would say with domain names, get them to create an account at your same domain name provider. Just because when you do that, usually you can transfer it immediately, which, you know, is great. Sometimes otherwise you can wait a week or two for it to transfer and you just want to get this site sale over and done with quickly, right? So at least then they have it. And once they have it, they can move it wherever they want. So there's no real reason for them not to go open that, and no one's ever said no to me. You're also going to have to give them the login to your site. Actually, I also want to say on domain names, sometimes there's fees involved. You know, I hadn't hit this, I must have hit it before when I sold a .au, but it was years ago and I'd forgotten. And when I sold the sites last week, I was annoyed to find that at Crazy Domains, where I have my .com.au domains, you actually have to pay a $99 transfer fee and you have to fill in forms and get everyone's ID. So that was a bit annoying. And because, you know, I hadn't disclosed that, I did feel like I had to pay it. So I did. And yeah, I mean, $99, those were, you know, five-figure sales. That was okay. If I was selling a cheaper site, that would be really problematic to me. So just make sure you're aware of any fees that might be with your domain name provider to change it over to a new owner. You're also going to want to think about affiliates. The buyer is responsible for changing all the affiliate links, but they do need to be pointed in the right direction. Like sometimes you might have to introduce them to someone and set up their account. You know, if I know someone personally at the affiliate, I'll always like just introduce just to make it all smoother, you know, make it easy. You also have to hand over all social media accounts. There's Google Analytics and Search Console that need handing over. All of that's usually pretty straightforward. You might want to think about any logos, images, you know, anything you can do to just help the person out, or, you know, really anything at all you have of that site IP, you know, why not hand it over? A lot of the times that stuff's not really negotiated as part of the sale because I guess people just don't know what you have. But I think it's nice to just give what you have. I found using a spreadsheet for all of this is working great for me. I've only done it the last three sales. I didn't on the other ones. And I'm like, wow, why didn't I do this sooner? Because there's so much email back and forth. And when you're transferring over, you know, like 10 different things, it gets very confusing, whereas a spreadsheet is working much better. You know, I've got pretty good at this now, so I can have that spreadsheet ready to go. So as soon as I know they're going to pay, like whether that's to my bank account or escrow, I just get that spreadsheet ready. Then as soon as I have the money, I can just share it with them and everything's in there, you know, all the logins, all the tracking. Even when you're preparing the site to sell, it could be a good idea to start that spreadsheet just because that's usually when you're more on top of what it is you need to transfer, because most sales, there's probably been at least one thing that I've kind of forgotten about until midway through the transfer. You know, it's easy just to forget because there's lots of bits and pieces. So trying to be as organized as possible definitely helps. Now, if you're buying a site, make sure you realize what you'll need to do and how to. Like already have hosting ready. Are you going to need a host? You're going to have to put that somewhere and it's not up to the seller to do that for you. Now, if you go for a broker like Empire Flippers, I'm pretty sure last time I sold, they would move the site for you. So you might be able to get help there, but I wouldn't assume that's going to happen. So it's not really that hard to sell and transfer, but it can add up in time. And when the site is worth a bit, it's hard not to feel stressed during the process because you don't want the site down for any length of time. There's always like questions of trust, I think, when you sell a site too. You know, I've never actually bought one, but from the selling side, I just always want to come across as trustworthy so the buyer doesn't have to worry and we don't waste time with that. So being really on top of things can help with that. Now, if you're interested in buying a site from me, I do have some left to sell. Like I said, some of them are going to be waiting a while, but I have 3 more .com.au sites that I've hopefully listed on D&W when you hear this. Maybe they'll already be sold the way if it's like the last ones. But definitely if you go to the show notes, you'll be able to see a link to those. So they're all .com.au, so best for Australians, okay? Now, it is possible to buy a .com.au if you're not Australian, but it is more complicated. There'll be information on what direction you need to start looking if you wanted to buy it and you're not Australian. Now, they're all sites with product reviews that make money primarily from Amazon Australia. I'm selling 3 at once this time because they're all quite similar, and actually one of them doesn't earn that much money, and so I'm going to sell it for really cheap. So I feel like that really shouldn't be much effort, but I guess we'll find out. Like I said, I find it hard to just drop it, and this site has had my photo on it at times and stuff too. It hasn't in a long time, but it did at the beginning, so I just feel a bit iffy selling it to some stranger. Now, the other two earn around a couple hundred dollars a month, so the ones that aren't the cheap ones, and will be listed from $4,000 to $6,000, I think, Australian dollars, that is. I'm still getting all my numbers together and just working out my listing, but you'll be able to go see that, like I said, when you're listening to this. They've all got a bit of travel content on them, and they had more at one point. Now, if you saw the site I sold last week on Australian Travel, it was an Australian destination site, I moved most of the travel content off these sites a year ago onto that site. I also moved low-performing buying guides off the sites as well, both at the beginning of the year and mid-year, which is why when I do my monthly average, it won't be on 12 months. I'm going to start doing it from after that happened. Okay, because obviously I move off a lot of content. It had a bit of an impact. You know, you shouldn't be paying for that. Now, these are more sites I haven't put any effort into in a long time. I actually don't remember when they had fresh posts on any of them, and my guess would be over 2 years ago, possibly a lot longer. So there's a lot of potential for you to revive them while you keep earning some money. You can also do things like add other affiliate links and other affiliate partners and advertising. Now, the two ones that earn money, Australian Dad and Simpler and Smarter, have at least 20 product guides on them too. And Simpler and Smarter has over 35. So the content itself is worth the buying price. So you always have the option too when you buy a site for a cheaper price that you could move the content onto your own site and just save the money in producing all of that. And of course, any content there on my sites, at least ones that are buying guides and optimized to keywords, they've all been built with top SEO in mind. I also have another content site built to low competition keywords in the health and food niche with over 200 articles. And that's one we haven't stopped adding to. So even in the last couple of months, even this month in February, we've been putting out or trying to put out 2 articles a week. I was going to hold on to that site for longer because I want to see all of that pay off, but I'm just wanting to be done. So I think I'm most probably going to list that on Digital Nomad Wannabe in March. I just want to get one more month's earnings. Now, it's primarily monetized with ads at Azoic and makes a little bit of Amazon US revenue too. Now, this one's a .com, so anyone can buy it, and it really has tons of potential there. You know, it's not like I've optimized it for affiliates or anything like that. It has a lot of great content already that's all been optimized for keywords, so there is a ton of different things you could do with that site. Now, I know a lot of people are interested in any travel niche sites I might have. I had so much interest in the Australian one I just sold. It was a nice, pleasant surprise, actually. Like I said earlier, I was going to sell my Tasmania site, tasmaniaexplorer.com.au, but my revenue just up significantly. In saying that, if you'd love a fantastic destination site and have over 100,000 Australian to spend, then talk to me as if I could sell it really easily. I'd probably do it now and not wait for the value to double with the new partner, because it's already would be valued, you know, over 100,000 without the new partner, which has doubled the revenue. Now, finally, if you're one of the many bloggers who seems to want to get into this niche about teaching other bloggers how to have success, I'm always open to ideas of selling Digital Nomad Wannabe even, you know, just reach out and tell me what you have in mind. So today we talked about selling sites, from working out the listing price to when to sell to how to go about getting your site ready and the actual process. I also teased you with some sites I'm about to sell. So make sure you let me know if you're interested. Make sure you check out the episode notes at digitalnomadwannabe.com/episode41, because it will definitely contain links for those sites. Hopefully already. I think the big issue is that they won't be listed by the time you hear this, but they might already be sold. So definitely don't waste time and have a look, and look out for the health niche one coming up soon as well. And of course, you can ask any questions there on the blog or in the Digital Nomad Wannabe Facebook group at dnwcommunity.com. or reply to any of the emails you have from me. So make sure you subscribe to this channel because I'm going to be back soon with more exciting insights to share. I look forward to chatting with you then.
Thanks for listening to Make Money Blogging with Digital Nomad Wannabe. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable tips and strategies for growing traffic and income for your blog so you can build a blogging business you love. Don't forget to leave a review so we can continue to bring you the best content. See you next episode.